Welcome to Libertarians Working for You with host Arvin Vora. Our program explains how to solve the most critical problems we face in America today: unemployment, debt, healthcare affordability, high taxes, loss of personal freedoms, loss of privacy, threats of war, and more. Now, here is your host, Arvin Vora.
Welcome to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvin Vora. In this pre-holiday episode of Libertarians Working for You, we're going to discuss what's going on right now with the Libertarian Party. This last weekend, the Libertarian National Committee met in New Orleans. And here's what we saw there. We saw an intense amount of energy, organization, passion. We saw a state party that had grown from a handful of people just 2 years ago into a state party that's heavily organized through different parishes, with candidates, with state and county chairs working together, with even LNC members getting involved on the ground. And the question is, what is the idea that's uniting these people? What is this idea that has so energized the Libertarian Party? Why is it that the Libertarian Party vote totals this election were up 44% from 4 years ago, while the Democrats and the Republicans and even the Greens lost vote percentages? I think this energy is about one very specific thing. And this one very specific thing is something that's striking fear into the hearts, not just of the Democratic and Republican parties, but those that back the Democratic and Republican parties, the corporations that benefit from unfair privileges, the unions that benefit just as much from equally unfair privileges. This energy is about cutting government. It's about downsizing big government, repealing unfair laws, and removing obstacles to small businesses and individuals. And during this show, I'd like to talk a little bit about what the difference really is. What is the difference between a libertarian and a libertarian Republican? What is the difference between a libertarian and a pro-freedom Democrat? The numbers are telling us something very clear. Libertarianism is becoming popular. We're seeing this in media coverage. We're seeing this in the rhetoric that the other politicians, non-libertarian politicians, are using to describe themselves. We're seeing more and more Democrats and Republicans say that they, quote, have libertarian ideas. And the reason that they're trying to do this is because the ideas of liberty are becoming more popular, but the reason that they're able to get away with it for now is because the idea of libertarianism hasn't been very precisely defined. If I were a big government Democrat or Republican, and I wanted to be able to use the energy of the libertarian movement for my own big government gains, if I wanted to use that energy and passion so that I could continue to grow government, here's what I would do. I'll just tell you exactly what I would do. I would talk about libertarian ideas. I would quote famous libertarians. I might even, as probably the least libertarian Republican in the entire Republican Party, Rick Santorum did, I might even deliberately make sure I had a photo op holding a book from Hayek or Mises. I would talk as much as I could about these ideas because ideas don't inherently connect to action. Because I would realize that I could talk about Hayek and Mises, I could talk about Thomas Jefferson, I could talk about Milton Friedman, I could talk about anybody I wanted to, and then quietly do something else. Quietly do the things that those funding my campaign had essentially lobbied or hired me to do. But what would really strike fear into my heart if I was that type of a big government Democrat or Republican that just wanted to pay lip service to liberty while doing non-libertarian actions? Here's what would strike fear into my heart. If I saw what is happening right now across the country, you've seen it on this show. We saw it this weekend in New Orleans. I've seen it in Maryland. I've seen it in Virginia. I've seen it in California, Chicago, Florida. What would strike fear into my heart would be if I started to see libertarians talk not just about ideas, not just about philosophy, not just about history and poetry, but about specific actions. If I saw them starting to talk about specific cuts to specific parts of government, I would be terrified. Because here's why. I can talk about, if I were a big government Democrat or Republican, I could talk about how inspiring I found reading Hayek. I could talk about something like, and maybe not even libertarian, but objectivist, I could even talk about how moving I found something like Atlas Shrugged, and then go on and grow government. I could do those things if the ideas of libertarianism were large and broad and vague enough to allow me to associate non-libertarian actions with libertarian rhetoric. If those ideas were so nebulous that I could get away with it, well, that would make me pretty excited. But if they were specific, well, that wouldn't really work. That little trick wouldn't work. I couldn't talk about cutting the Department of Defense and then grow the Department of Defense. I mean, that would seem insane. I couldn't talk about cutting the Department of Energy and then grow the Department of Energy. That wouldn't make any sense. What we're seeing all over the country right now is libertarian candidates, libertarian state chairs, libertarian county chairs, libertarian activists at booths, at farmers markets, at gay pride parades, talking about the same thing, specific cuts to specific parts of government. The libertarian brand is changing in this way. It's becoming more and more about a clear, specific, cut-oriented vision. It is no longer okay in most libertarian circles, whether we're talking about the Libertarian Party or even Campaign for Liberty, groups like YAL and SFL, Students for Liberty, it's becoming increasingly inappropriate to vaguely talk about liberty and becoming increasingly central to talking about specific cuts in specific parts of government. One of the most exciting moments in this weekend's Libertarian National Committee, for most of the people either at the committee or watching it online, was the moment when the Libertarian National Committee finally decided that they were ready to drop the old branding, to drop the old logo, to drop the old outdated look, and to move into a more elegant and sophisticated appearance. And that change is not just a surface level change. It's not just a new covering, a new wrapping paper that we're putting on the same product. That surface change is a symbol of a deeper change. And that deeper change is a libertarian party about specific cuts to specific parts of government. Many of you had the privilege of seeing the amazing op-ed put out by Libertarian Party Chair Nick Sarwark, where he called for an end to one of the most detrimental and devastating agencies in government, where he called in no uncertain terms for the end, for the complete shutdown, for the complete abolishment, for the complete repeal of one of the most harmful organizations ever created on Earth. When he called for shutting down the CIA. And he gave a list of why the CIA needs to go. Targeted killings and assassinations, overthrowing democratically elected governments, human experimentation, dealing heroin in Asia, spying on Americans, shipping war prisoners to foreign countries where torture is permissible, and lying to Congress. I'm going to read a quote from that op-ed right now, and you can see exactly where the Libertarian Party is going. That the Libertarian Party is standing up for the weak against the most oppressive government, quite arguably, in the Western Hemisphere. Whether it's, and here's the quote, whether it's choking a man to death for selling loose cigarettes in New York or torturing prisoners at Guantanamo Bay, the government refuses to prosecute government employees who brutalize the vulnerable. When the government investigates itself, it almost always clears itself of any wrongdoing. Right after this break, we're going to talk about not just the CIA and not just one LNC member, Nick Sarwark, but we're going to talk about the amazing visions from so many different libertarians, and we're going to talk about some of the amazing benefits of eliminating some of the oppressive and intrusive federal agencies we have today. Now, right now, the Libertarian Party is growing. It's becoming energized. It's attracting new members. And if you want to get involved with the most exciting time in the libertarian movement's history, the time is right now. You got to get to lp.org/states. Go to your state page, contact the state chair or the director of membership or whatever you have in your state, and get involved today. Don't wait till the new year. Don't make this a New Year's resolution. Make this a right now resolution. You're listening to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvind Vora. We'll be right back.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Want to help make our world a better place, but not sure where to start? Tune into Better Worldians Radio with the creators of the social game on Facebook called A Better World. Join hosts Ray, Mary Sue, and Gregory Hansel, who will inspire you to make a big difference in small ways. They'll speak to experts, authors, volunteers, and everyday people who are changing the world daily. Better Worldians Radio is heard live every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time, on Voice America Variety.
Ready to chat about your favorite soap operas? The Daytime Discussion is here with Dan J. Kroll and Soap Central Live. For the past 15 years, Dan has been dishing and discussing on SoapCentral.com. And now he's taking the talk to the airwaves of the Voice America Variety Channel. You'll go behind the scenes with the biggest stars of daytime, along with guest commentary from the Soap Central columnists. And we'll take your questions and comments during our live show. Soap Central Live, every Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific on Voice America Variety. Listen for Trust Across America every week on the Voice America Variety Channel. Tune in as host Jordan Kimmel is joined by national experts in the fields of accounting, finance, organizational behavior, and sustainability, as well as companies that are applying strategies that are enabling them to be recognized as doing the right thing by the American Trust Awards. Your host, Jordan Kimmel, is himself a trusted professional with years of experience in applying strategies and consulting with today's leading firms. Trust Across America is heard Wednesdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Variety.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
This is Libertarians Working for You. If you wish to connect with our show, please call 1-866-472-5788. That number again is 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to comments@lp.org. Here again is Arvind Vora.
Welcome back to Libertarians Working for You. I'd like to read you a short passage from an op-ed that came out just today. from Libertarian National Committee member Joshua Katz. We had him on the show last week. Here's what he points out in one part of his op-ed. In response to systematic racism and murder by police departments, the White House has come up with a committee to study not how to hold murderers accountable, but why the minority population does not trust the police. What you see over here is just, it's desperation. It's this desperate attempt of statists to try to hold on to a paradigm that we all know is over. This big government, intrusive, micromanaging, money-wasting paradigm that started maybe in the New Deal, maybe slightly before, that experiment has failed. The American people have rejected that. In Washington and Colorado, they've let the federal government know exactly what they think about marijuana prohibition. They've nullified it. They've basically said, listen, this law, this federal law, is so ridiculous that we're not going to fight this in Congress. We're not going to fight this through the federal courts. We're not taking this to the Supreme Court. We're just passing a law that says it's legal now here. And if you have a problem with it, well, you know, that's your problem. And we're going to be seeing more and more of that. We saw so many, just last year, we saw so many town councils, county councils across the country letting people know that in that town or county, all restrictions on the Second Amendment were null and void. Some even went so far as to pass laws and resolutions saying that if a federal agent was found in this town, these are small towns, these aren't huge towns, and if there's a federal agent found in this town attempting to enforce a now illegal restriction on the Second Amendment, that person was going to be locked up and sent to prison. Earlier yesterday, I took a look at a list of the currently existing federal departments. I think we're going to make this list a little bit shorter over the coming years. When I went to the USA.gov site to look at the list, it was so long that it took 30 pages. Right now, what I'm going to do is we're going to go through a few of these things and talk about exactly why all these libertarian ideas will benefit not just a few people here and there, but benefit everyone. They're going to benefit you. They're going to benefit your friends. They're going to benefit your family. Right at the top of that list of departments that so many libertarian candidates in this election, in the 2014 election, pledged to eliminate, and so many more in 2015 and 2016 will pledge to eliminate, is the Department of Agriculture. The Department of Agriculture, as many of you know, is the agency responsible for, among other things, the disgusting environmental damage caused by corn and soybean subsidies. We all know that monocropping, that's where you grow a single crop in an area, is the worst thing you can do to the soil. It's the worst thing you can do to the land. It requires the use of synthetic and artificial fertilizers that have their own side effects. Those subsidies also misallocate farmland. That means that instead of getting the healthier foods that the market is actually demanding, farmers are so heavily incentivized, backwards incentivized, to produce more corn. We've seen the result of this in all of our food. Because the government essentially is subsidizing corn, it has made corn syrup, high fructose corn syrup, which we know is linked to so many different health issues, it's artificially made that cheaper than sugar. On the other hand, not content to do just that damage, we've also added tariffs. The government has added tariffs on sugar. In other words, it's made the price of sugar artificially higher. The result being that now we have a bunch of corn syrup and everything, and everybody who wants sugar is just paying extra. Now imagine if that was reversed. If that process, if we just ended that program right today, if we just shut that program down right now, what would the results be? Well, if you are one of the millions of Americans that ever eats sugar or uses any products with sugar, you're going to pay a little bit less. If you're one of the millions of Americans who's sick and tired of seeing high fructose corn syrup jammed into every single thing that you buy, well, you won't have that problem anymore, because the free market doesn't actually make it cheaper. It's these ridiculous and aggressive government subsidies that do that. I talked to so many candidates this year that pledged that they weren't going to just end those corn subsidies. They were going to end the entire Department of Agriculture. They pointed out to me that since its beginning, the Department of Agriculture has been a mix of bad policies and crazy advice. We all remember that food pyramid, which told us that we needed to eat 6 to 11 servings a day of starch, where many nutritionists today that say suggest that number should actually be 0, or maybe 1 or 2, but certainly not 6 to 11. By shutting down the Department of Agriculture, we're going to protect the environment. We're going to improve food quality. We're going to cut taxes, because all these ridiculous subsidies, all these insane tariffs, all of these invasions and incursions on our basic right to grow and eat what we see fit, all that comes at our own expense. We are paying for ourselves to be interfered with. And if we get rid of that Department of Agriculture, that's more money in your pocket. That's more money that you can spend on better education, more money that you can spend on better food, more money that you can spend on better fitness, more money that you can spend on a well-earned vacation. That's more money you can spend on electronics, on whatever you think is going to benefit your life the most, instead of paying for somebody else to give you bad advice and to distort the market to make you eat unhealthier food. Now, we could go through this entire list, and that would probably take 12 or 13 hours, but there's a few areas that I think we really need to highlight. This week in Louisiana, I spoke to so many candidates and former candidates that had pledged, either in the last election or were pledging in this election, to abolish the Department of Education. Some were federal candidates who were pledging to eliminate the entire Department of Education and cut taxes accordingly. Others were state candidates pledging to abolish their state's Department of Education and cut taxes accordingly. And when I asked what some of the benefits were, and I've asked some of them on this show and many more outside of this show, what are some of those benefits? Here's what I hear. Choice. I hear that without a Department of Education, instead of having some bureaucrat try to decide a one-size-fits-none policy for all American children, you have the parents who know the most about the child, who care the most about the child, making the decisions for that child's education. You have lower cost, because much of what we pay for right now in schools isn't really education. It's crony capitalism.
Now, when we think about the benefits of ending the Department of Education, it really comes down to that. It comes down to choice. It comes down to making sure that the people who care the most and who know the most about the child are making the decision. Not somebody whose only interest is supporting whichever textbook company is lobbying them the most effectively, or is catering to their particular political agenda, but instead the parents who actually are invested in that child fundamentally, having that person make the decision. And by getting the government completely out of education, I don't just mean the federal government, I mean the federal government and the state government completely out of education, that's really what we're allowing. We're allowing that to happen. Now, the only way that that's going to happen is if we get real libertarians elected. And that means that we're going to need your help. We're going to need you to do two things. One, we need you to get to lp.org/states and see how you can get involved in a campaign in your state. But there's one more thing that you need to think about doing, and that is making the biggest contribution that you possibly can to the cause of liberty. And that is actually running for office as a libertarian. There are so many different offices that are going to be open in 2015 and 2016. And the Democrats and Republicans are going to be running the same old tired political hacks that they already always do. But if we run somebody different, if we get someone like you involved, someone that really cares about the country, someone that cares about individuals, that cares about liberty, we're going to be able to make some real changes. So go to lp.org/runforoffice. Right now you're listening to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvin Vora. We'll be right back.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
If you hear a dog barking or an angel singing, then you know that you're listening to Waking Up in America. Heard every Wednesday at 3 Pacific Time, Valerie Kirkhard and all of her friends will bring you powerful and humorous discussions that raise thoughts and give you insight on how to live your life to its fullest potential. Adventure is always a must on Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkhard, every Wednesday at 3 Pacific.
It's time to take a new look at some of life's changing moments. It's time to listen to an expert who has been there and can provide insight through experience, studies, and enlightening guests. Tune in to Illuminating Now, Lindsay's Life Secrets. Host Lindsay Levinson takes a look at relationships, parenting, health and wellness, divorce, depression, sexuality, philanthropy, and mental health. You'll look at everything you know in a different way. Illuminating Now, Lindsay's Life Secrets, airs Wednesdays at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Variety.
Are you a business innovator or are you just sitting on the sidelines? Tune in every week for Coffee Break with Game Changers, presented by SAP. Host Bonnie D. Graham talks to a cross-section of the movers and shakers who are leading by example. They will share best practices and innovative ideas to keep you thinking and moving along with the best. Join us for Coffee Break with Game Changers, presented by SAP, Wednesday mornings at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
This is Libertarians Working for You. If you wish to connect with our show, please call 1-866-472-5788. That number again is 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to comments@lp.org. Here again is Arvin Vora.
Welcome back to Libertarians Working for You. I talked a little bit earlier in the show about the difference between actual libertarians who are trying to cut government and wolves in sheep's clothing who are trying to talk about libertarian ideas while growing government. See, for a politician, growing government is often strategically beneficial to your campaign, because guess what? When you grow government, somebody's going to get some unfair benefit. That's what government does. If you want to expand the Department of Education, some textbook company is going to get some unfair benefit, like we saw with Common Core, or some educational company. If you're going to expand the Department of Defense, obviously defense contractors are going to have their business increase, because you're going to be buying more defense material for more unnecessary military actions. When we compare those two, it's hard for us to not talk about Senator Rand Paul. Now, Senator Paul showed us exactly what kind of man he was 2 years ago when he endorsed Mitt Romney, when he told America that the creator of RomneyCare was the person that he wanted to be the president of the United States. And when you hear these ridiculous ideas, and you'll hear these ideas time and time again in the coming election cycle, the ridiculous idea that something is good at the state level but not good at the federal level, you know, whether you're forcing the people of Massachusetts to buy an ineffective health care, or you're forcing the people of all 50 states to buy an ineffective type of health care, it doesn't really make a difference. The question is only one of scale, not one of type. It doesn't make it better just because it happened for a million people instead of 10 million people, or for 10 million people instead of 100 million people. Forcing people into a backwards program is always wrong. And that's not the only thing that's always wrong. Here's something that's also always wrong. Unprovoked military aggression that leads to backlash is always wrong. Here's what Nick Sarwark had to say about Rand Paul in a press release that he wrote just a couple of weeks ago. He said, quote, "A constitutional war in the Middle East is just as bloody, destructive, and likely to incite terrorism as an unconstitutional war." He was, of course, responding to Senator Paul's attempt to formally declare war in the Middle East. Now, there are many people that have suggested that Senator Paul is a libertarian. Now, whether his personal views are libertarian or not, I have no idea. That's between him and his personal mind. But I can tell you one thing. His actions haven't been libertarian. His actions of trying to grow the worst part of government haven't been very libertarian. The libertarian answer to the Middle East and to all other areas in which our behaviors are creating conflict has been pretty consistent. Stop doing it. Some of you have seen the famous Ron Paul Imagine video where he discusses, if you haven't seen it, just look up Ron Paul Imagine on YouTube. The video is incredible. Where he specifically talks about the benefits of shutting down unnecessary military bases that we have all over the country. I mean, all over the world. He explains that by shutting down military bases and ceasing to deal with other nations with threats and violence, we're able to engage in peaceful commerce. It's like that libertarian saying, make trade, not war. Let's work together instead of against each other. The Department of Defense has gotten way too big, not just monetarily, but in terms of its actions, in terms of its constant interference with other nations. And if we want people like Senator Paul to understand that, well, there's only one way to do that. And that's to do one of three things. One is to vote libertarian. For actual libertarians who are actually trying to cut government, especially and including the Department of Defense. The other is to get involved in libertarian campaigns, to volunteer as a libertarian, to run for office as a libertarian. And the final way is to donate to libertarian campaigns and causes, real libertarian campaigns, not the type of libertarian campaigns that suggest that while it's okay to cut $10 here, it's also equally good to grow to add $10 billion somewhere else. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's not libertarian. That's not cutting government. That's growing government. One of the most damaging things that the government has done is the other W. One is warfare, and the other one's welfare. First, I want to address this mythology of welfare. People have this misunderstanding of welfare that suggests that it's there to help the poor. Well, that's not really true. First of all, more welfare goes to corporations than it goes to the poor ever. More welfare went to, in the Wall Street bailout, to the financial sector, and it had gone to the poor in the last 10 years. So first of all, welfare doesn't really help the poor. Welfare to the poor right now is basically being used as an excuse and a precedent to set up the mechanism to create welfare for the rich. And not necessarily welfare for those who are rich through their productivity, but those who are rich through their corporate connections and crony capitalism. But the other thing that has been swept so delicately under the rug by federal governments, by the state governments, is that government often gets in the way of charity. And not just in some sort of psychological way where people feel that charity is unnecessary because there's already wealth. Now, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about direct regulatory interference with charity. We saw this in New York City, where the state government made it illegal for Jewish grandmothers that had worked in synagogues to bake bagels for the poor, which they'd been doing for decades. The bizarre justification for that was that there was no nutrition information, you know, written on the bagel or whatever it is that they were hoping for, so that people were no longer allowed to donate bagels to the homeless. The government literally said that you cannot give food to the poor. What could possibly be more psychotic than that? What could be a more blatant and obvious example of crony capitalism? Because here's the thing. Fine, if you can't give money to the poor or you can't give food to the poor, well, then somebody else has to, and the government has to buy that food from that somebody, and that somebody's probably going to fund the campaign of the very people that are passing these immoral, illogical, and incomprehensibly ridiculous laws. And this isn't just limited in New York. We saw the same thing throughout so many states where they said feeding the homeless here is illegal. Feeding the homeless here is illegal. Giving clothes to the homeless is illegal. In Nevada, in Las Vegas, where we have so many casinos that have their legendary buffets, you know what they were doing at the end of the day? They were giving the extra food to the homeless. And guess what happened? Nevada government stepped in and said, you're not allowed to do this anymore. You can't give food to the hungry anymore. You can't give food to the people who most badly need food. And now that food goes to pigs or something like that. It's no longer going towards the people who need it. That's what government welfare does. It creates an incentive to get the private sector out of welfare. The first thing any government agency does is to try to get its private sector competition out of the way. One of the most famous historical examples of this is, of course, the post office itself, which has passed a law that nobody besides the post office can deliver, not that the post office passed the law, of course Congress has passed a law that nobody besides the post office can deliver mail into your mailbox. You, on your own property, cannot decide that another company can deliver you mail. And that can only be justified, that the only justification for that is to create a monopoly. Of course, we hear so many Democrats and Republicans saying that we need the government to protect us from monopolies, but the reality is that it's almost impossible for a monopoly to stand without government force. If there's no government force backing up a monopoly, people just go elsewhere. I mean, what is the possible need for the monopoly in the first place? What could possibly allow that monopoly to exist in the first place if there was no government force acting against it? One of the big areas that we want to cut, therefore, is the entire welfare program. We want to say, let's have real charity take its place. Just like writing, just like teaching, just like anything, charity is a skill. It's difficult. It's easy to do the kind of charity that creates dependency, and that's what we've done with our welfare system. But it's very difficult, actually, to create the type of charity that actually lifts people out of poverty. Many people are in poverty because of tragic circumstances in their lives, because of lack of real education, because of so many issues. And correcting those issues, which is the only way to lift somebody out of poverty, it takes a lot of work, it takes flexibility, it takes creativity, it takes passion. It takes relentlessness. It takes basically, in short, everything that the government lacks. So by shutting down government welfare, we're not saying, you know, let's try to hurt the poor. We're saying, no, let's stop the government from hurting the poor, and let's allow private sectors that have existed in the past and will surely flourish again as soon as the restrictions on their existence are gone. Let's have those organizations do what they were doing. Let's stop preventing them. Let's allow the charitable hospital. Do you know right now, almost every state in the country has made charitable hospitals illegal. So many doctors right now are working with these great organizations like Doctors Without Borders. And the sad thing is they have to. They can't do that here in America. They can't give free health care to the people in need in America. Over here, they're not legally allowed to help the people who are poor and sick. They are not allowed to help them. I mean, that is the result of allowing a crony capitalist and corrupt government to stick its fingers into welfare, into charity, where it has no place. When you mix crony capitalism and welfare, you get these disastrous results. But it doesn't stop there. When we really talk about what's damaged lower middle class and lower and the socioeconomically lower class the most, it hasn't been even welfare. It's been the broken education system that we talked about before. That if we got rid of that education system, if we got rid of the regulations that so tightly constrict what a school is allowed to do versus not allowed to do, we would be able to give better, cheaper, and even free education to those that need it. We're going to talk a little bit more about that right after this break. But if you want to get involved with being part of the solution, if you want to get involved with getting government out of the way of charity, out of the way of individual excellence, out of the way of individuals helping other individuals, if you want to stop the government from stopping charity, if you want charity to be allowed in the way that it has been through almost all of human history and all cultures at all times, you need to go to lp.org/states. You need to contact your state party and ask them how you can get involved. You can meet great libertarian activists. You might even run for office. But that first step, you got to take that step today, because no one's going to be able to take that step for you. Go to lp.org/states to get involved with the Libertarian Party in your state. Right now, you're listening to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvin Vora. We'll be right back.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
Wealth Generators empowers your personal freedom with a simple, repeatable program for success. Our stock market experts bring extensive experience and deliver it directly to our members so they can invest for themselves. Now, for a limited time, the Financial You listeners can try the Wealth Generators program risk-free for 30 days for only $1. That's right, just $1. You will have access to our three weekly trade strategies for a full 30 days. After the trial ends, our products are covered by our triple your money back guarantee. If you trade our strategies for 6 months and lose money, we will pay you three times your subscription fee back. That's how confident we are in the Wealth Generators program. In addition, you can earn by referring others to the program. If you tell a friend and they join, you get paid. Not once, but each and every month they remain active. Trade like the experts, build residual income, and take the first step in generating wealth. Enroll now at WGOffer.com.
The world we live in has become a crazy place. Poverty is at an all-time high in the wealthiest nation on earth. We keep calling on government to save us with new programs. And now, we have more people using food stamps than any time in our history. This problem continues to get worse. The answer to poverty is in our homes, churches, and communities, and through our children. Get the answers from the Mickey Ellison Show, Wednesdays at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern, on Voice America Variety.
Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
This is Libertarians Working for You. If you wish to connect with our show, please call 1-866-472-5788. That number again is 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to comments@lp.org. Here again is Arvin Vora.
Welcome back to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvin Vora. One of the rallying cries among the supporters of Ron Paul was End the Fed. In fact, it was one of Ron Paul's most popular books, and that message continues to resonate with the libertarian movement today. In fact, that message is growing. But what does it mean? Why? What exactly will it allow us to do if we don't have the Federal Reserve? Well, on the positive side, we won't have these indirect taxes. See, if the government spends a bunch of money and then the Fed buys a bunch of government debt, what that does is it lowers the value of your savings. If you have $20 in your pocket today and the Fed injects a bunch of more money into the system, that means that $20 will buy you less tomorrow. $20 used to buy you a lot more. Now it doesn't buy you quite as much. 100 years ago, $20 might buy you a nice new suit. Today, $20 certainly won't buy you a nice suit. Now, what so many currency experts have pointed out is that 100 years ago, $20 would also buy you an ounce of gold, and an ounce of gold would buy you a new suit. Whereas today, an ounce of gold will still buy you a pretty nice new suit. The ability to make sure that your currency is not being depleted is so important. But the question is, how do we make that transition? Just as with the best way to allow Americans to transition away from government-run education is to end truancy laws, which means to allow people to educate their children in the way that they see fit, whether that's cyber school or homeschool or traditional school or private school or religious school. Let's let the people who know the most and who care the most about the kids make that decision. That's how we're going to get better education, more educated workforce, more jobs, because that more educated workforce is going to probably start some more intelligent businesses. And a similar thing applies to currency. Right now, if you look at a dollar bill, what does it say? This is legal tender for all debts, public and private. And that says that whether you want to or not, you have to accept payment in dollars. You cannot set up a contract with somebody and demand payment in gold. Even if both you and that person agree that the payment will be in gold, you can't do that. In fact, so many organizations that have created just commemorative coins, like, for example, the Ron Paul commemorative coin is a silver coin that had a picture of Ron Paul on it. Those or places were shut down. Their silver was seized by the federal government. And what does that tell you? That tells you the federal government is pretty smart. They know where the danger lies, and that danger lies in people just stopping to use their most powerful weapon against us. People just stopping to use U.S. dollars and switching over to other types of currency. Now, I'm not saying that anybody has to use gold coins or silver coins or oil or whatever else you want to use for currency. I'm not saying it should be required. You can use whatever you want. But I am saying that you should be allowed to use whatever you want. The first step of that is just allowing people to use whatever competing currencies they want to use. That if somebody says, hey, I want to be paid in copper, the government has no business saying that they can't. And if people don't want to frequent that business, well, that's fine. But if people do want to frequent that business, it is that business owner's right to accept whatever kind of payment that he prefers. Now, if you want to make this happen, if you want to make it possible for America to finally be free of the oppression, that the individual meddling, the telling you how to live your life, the using your money for immoral actions, whether it's torture or war, you need to go right now to lp.org/states. That's how you get involved with the Libertarian Party in your state. You can help downsize big government. You can help candidates who are running for office. You might even decide to run for office yourself. You can meet great libertarians and help figure out ways in which we can help explain to others the importance of downsizing government. You can help write the candidate questionnaires. That's just free advertising for liberty. But the first step of that is going to lp.org/states and getting involved with your state party. Right now, you've been listening to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, signing off until next week on Libertarians Working for You.
Thank you for tuning in to Libertarians Working for You.
Please join Arvind Vora again next Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. We hope you have a great week.